stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This is starting to irritate me.
And now, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning. If you'd like to take part in the show today, please dial 323-203-0815. And now, here are your program hosts, Sam and Steph, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, October 12th. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Good.
How are you?
Good. We're both awake. That's important.
Yeah.
That's a start, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us. I wanted to let you know we're going to have guests tomorrow and Friday.
Yay!
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to have a producer of a film, of a documentary about the Japanese mafia.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And that should be pretty interesting stuff, yeah.
I love documentaries.
Yeah, so I thought it would be very interesting. I mean, I'm curious as to what's going on there, you know, in the, in the mafia and stuff there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty, I'm sure, you know. So we're going to have him tomorrow, and then so you guys should stay tuned. So what's going on this morning? Anything exciting?
Yeah, well, I saw Ides of March last night.
Oh, you
at
did?
At the Arclight Theater, which
with
is
George
a great
Clooney.
Theater, by the way. George Clooney and Ryan Gosling.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Gosling's the main character. The story, the premise of the story is mainly, you know, based on his situation. But I didn't realize George Clooney also directed it and is one of the three writers.
Oh, he's a writer too? Yeah,
yeah,
I knew he directed it. I didn't know he was a writer.
Amazing movie.
Really?
Oh, amazing.
Like,
yeah, yeah, I mean, and I'm really not into politics at all. I try to stay as far away from it as possible. But I really enjoyed the movie. It's all about political order, and it really shows you all the deceit that goes on within those doors.
Wow.
I mean, just lots of people, you know, even the people who seem the most loyal, there's just tons of backstabbing. And the second somebody knows that something has happened or you've been deceitful, you just have to be very, then bam, you are fired.
Really?
There's that you have to trust, you
right.
know, I fully trust someone.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Trusting politicians doesn't work very well,
mm-mm.
you know.
But phenomenal cast.
So, but the story was good?
Yeah, it just kind of focuses. Ryan Gosling plays the press secretary of George Clooney's character, who is like heavily in the Ohio presidential primary. And yeah, running for president. And there's just lots of crazy stuff going on. I don't want to spoil it too much.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend going to see it.
Good.
I definitely think it'll be up for some awards.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, you know. It's probably going to be nominated for the Oscar.
And such a great cast. I mean, not just Ryan Gosling and George Clooney, but Paul Giamatti's in it, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites, Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's in it too. Yeah,
yeah.
I heard. Wow, it sounds pretty good. Yeah, it's an all-star cast. It should be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I love the Arclight Theater. It's like
yeah,
the second
in Hollywood
time I've been there.
Or what?
Yeah, it's in Hollywood.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, we have one out here, too, down the street.
Oh.
And, yeah, they're very good, but they're very expensive, too.
They're
I think
pricey.
It's like $15 a ticket, right?
Yeah, at least, depending on what night you go. Yeah.
It is
ridiculous, you know?
Oh, they have different prices for different nights?
Well, yeah, I mean, ours was like, I think ours was a little cheaper. It was like maybe $13 or $14
okay.
because it was a Tuesday night.
I see,
and there
okay.
were like five people in the theater, but, you know, yeah, but it is an expensive theater.
Yeah.
What's weird, though, is did you hear that I guess it's like the TV on demand now is going to be offering or already is offering movies that are in the theater you can now buy and watch on your home
oh,
TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
wow.
it costs $15 to $20.
Right.
So it's like, well, that kind of makes sense, though, because, any, you know, they still want to get people to the theaters, you know?
Right.
The theaters have to make money. But if you're too lazy, you're going to spend extra money
yeah.
to watch it at home.
I wonder if people are going to do that.
I mean, I think definitely people will, but it's going to be more people who have money.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, random splurges. You know, you have a special person visiting. Excuse me, I'm clumsy this morning. Dropped my water. You know, like special occasions if I have a friend over and we just want to hang out and
right.
have a drink or two.
Yeah.
You know, purchase the movie.
That still would be cheaper though, because you'd only pay $115.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah,
they
I didn't
don't know
think
how
about
many
that.
People are watching the show.
That's true. Good point. Yeah. So if you bring, you know, have 10 people at your house and watch at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not paying per
Might
person.
Be worth it. Yeah.
Didn't even think about that. Good one. Good call.
And I haven't been to the movies in a long time. I think I used to go every week to the
really?
To the movies. Yeah. And now I don't anymore. I don't know. I don't seem to be seduced by all the new movies lately.
Really?
I don't know why.
I think there are lots of good ones out right now.
Really?
Even well, Ryan Gosling is especially like the other one
Drive.
He's in Drive. I'm anxious to see that.
Yeah.
I love his work, you know. I just think he's phenomenal. What else? I think The Help is it might be out of theaters, but I'm dying to see that one.
Yeah.
Predominantly African American cast and then Emma Stone's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good ones.
Yeah.
But for me, it's feast or famine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like either I don't go to the theater for 6 months or in 1 month I'm like at the theater, you know, twice a week.
Right.
Always feast or famine. It either comes or goes.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think there's some good movies coming up. I don't remember any of them, but I know like the, which ones? Oh, I can't even think of
it. Can't think.
Right
brain
now.
Fart.
No, brain fart.
I have to admit, I had breakfast this morning.
Oh,
and
wow.
We've discussed this, that, you know, we're both very bad at eating breakfast.
Right.
It truly does make a difference. I mean, I feel
does,
good,
huh?
great already.
It
yeah.
It really does.
Yeah,
I know.
And I didn't have anything huge, just like a banana and a yogurt, you know,
right.
something small. But it is amazing how much it helps.
Yeah. I know. I need to get used to that and start doing that, you know, because, I don't eat till 2 o'clock, 2:30.
No,
don't put
that late.
In my mouth. Yeah,
so normally I'll wait
drinks.
Till like noon, but then I start getting hungry.
Yeah.
2:30, that's crazy.
Yeah, 2:30
but you drink
is very
coffee.
Late. But only one. I mean, only one. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I really don't eat a lot. I only eat when I'm really hungry, you know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm usually like that. I don't eat much at all throughout the whole day, but then when dinner comes, it's like bam, I'm eating a whole, you know, enough to feed 10 people.
I know, and we eat late too. So, like last night, we went. We just felt like eating something fast. So, we went and had a couple of steak sandwiches, you know, like Philly sandwiches.
Steak, yummy.
But you know, you eat that at 9:30, man, and it stays with you. You
it
know?
Does.
I still felt it this morning.
Yeah, so I always get a little. Yeah, I feel weird. My stomach feels weird when I wake up in the morning. When I eat late at night, and then a big meal.
And especially meat, you know, that takes a long time to digest.
But guess who, of all people, like what group of people, male, female, what age group, is the are the ones that skip breakfast the most?
Oh, I don't
who
know.
Who would you think?
Who would you? I
read the little poll. 28% of men from the ages of 18 to 34 are the ones that they skip the meals the most.
Oh, really?
And then in close.
They don't have time, huh?
Right. And then in close second is the females at 18%. But I thought that was interesting because I thought, oh, for sure females, you know, would be more so inclined to skip breakfast just because they're more weary about their weight and looks.
Because of the diets and things like that. Yeah.
But men, 18 to 34, skipping breakfast. Eat your breakfast, you guys.
That's true. I just don't know what to eat. But you know what? A banana and something sounds good. You
right.
know?
Yeah,
you don't
something
have
just
to
light.
Have like eggs or greasy anything.
No,
know?
Although eggs I love too.
Yeah.
Eggs are good.
Yeah.
Not oily, not greasy. It depends on how you cook them. Get this. This is ridiculous, though. You know the Olsen twins?
Yes,
this is totally
of course.
Off of the breakfast thing.
Mary-Kate and Ashley, right?
Yeah, so they have, you know, a line of bags and clothes and whatever. $35,000 backpack.
Really?
Or $39,000 backpack. Backpack.
Uh-huh.
It's like made of alligator skin. It's part of their luxury fashion campaign.
Uh-huh.
Sold out immediately.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm thinking, okay, this better be a damn good backpack. When I'm thinking they're going to be diamonds on the backpack.
I know, something.
And I saw the picture, and it's just this tiny little lame black alligator skinned backpack. It's nothing special at all.
Yeah.
$39,000.
Wow. It just shows you, people will spend money on anything.
It's crazy. Who buys? I mean, obviously, it's just wealthy people who are buying these.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Unless you're going in
but
debt.
But what the hell are they going to do with that? You know?
I know.
What do you do with a freaking backpack? You know?
I don't get it at all.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And, I mean, usually you take backpacks to nature. Why would you want to take a $39,000 anything?
Right. Well, it's not like the type you even look at it. It's like a, you know, like a handbag. I mean, it's more of a classy, sophisticated backpack as opposed to like a real, true backpack that you're going to go hiking with. You know,
right.
You would never bring this hiking.
So what would you think?
But it doesn't even look special. I don't know. Apparently one of the new fashion trends is girls with, you know, instead of wearing a purse or handbag, mm-hmm. they're wearing just those cute little tiny backpacks.
Oh, really?
They kind of hang low. Yeah. Yeah. It's not my style. No. I'm not into it. I like handbags.
I haven't seen that.
I always feel like I'm hitchhiking, yeah, when I'm wearing a backpack. I don't think it's womanly.
Yeah. It's no, it's not. It's really not, you know.
I have a hunchback and everything. I'm not into it.
No. Yeah. So, Esquire magazine named the sexiest woman alive.
Who?
I can't even believe this. Rihanna.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, you always get surprised, though, first of all.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's never somebody that's, you know, the total drop-dead gorgeous. It's always somebody that kind of... I'm not surprised by that, though.
Really?
I think she's a gorgeous woman, but she's also super talented, and she's different. She's unique looking.
Yeah.
Not just your typical looking gal.
I guess she's from Barbados or something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know
gorgeous
that.
Gorgeous accent. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a shocker, though. I mean,
I mean, she is pretty, you know, but I don't think she's the sexiest woman. I mean, there's...
Yeah. Who would you think would be the sexiest?
I don't know. I was thinking about that. I'd be hard-pressed, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of beautiful women out there, so I need to actually look at some pictures to tell you.
Yeah.
But there are quite a few, I think.
Oh, there are tons.
Yeah.
There are beautiful women everywhere, even if you just walk the streets, you know?
Well, there's a big demand for them. So.
Yeah, seriously.
So everybody becomes beautiful and moves to L.A., you know?
I know. Barf.
Yeah. So, Rihanna, you know, I mean, I'm happy for her. I don't know. Yeah. They've got a pretty sexy picture of her on the cover.
I bet they do.
Covered in seaweed and stuff.
Ew, that sounds weird.
Yeah, but she's totally nude. It's just in a position where you can't see anything.
I'm looking it up now. Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, that's hot. Yeah, that's actually really hot.
Yeah.
That's very seductive and
yeah, it is sexy. A pretty sexy pose, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
I always used to think this is just Carmen Electra.
Mm-hmm.
I always used to think she's so gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's just beautiful. And Brooke Shields?
Yeah,
isn't
Brooke Shields
gorgeous?
Still pretty.
I don't like to brag, but every time I go to an audition, everyone thinks I look like a young Brooke Shields.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think you look better than her. But
oh, yeah, right. Thanks.
No, really.
I think it's just my big smile. I have a big smile. She has like a wide jaw area.
That's true, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Young Brooke Shields.
Yeah. I can kind of see the resemblance, you know.
Yeah, a little bit.
But you've got a unique look. I don't think...
Do I? You know what? I'm starting to think I don't. Literally every person I meet will say, oh, you look just like this person. You
really?
Look like this person. Every time.
Why do people do that?
I don't know. It drives me nuts, though.
Yeah.
And I tell them, that drives me nuts. I get that too much. That's why I don't
get it. You want to have a unique look, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so weird. Did you hear about the pot brownies at a funeral? Causing seniors to be hospitalized.
No.
Yeah. So.
Really?
Yeah. What was it? It was like three different senior citizens had to be hospitalized. This was this past Saturday, because they were serving brownies at this funeral, but they were pot brownies.
Wow.
They
and who was serving them?
I don't know. I'm assuming maybe just it was. That's a good question.
Yeah.
If sometimes for the funerals you bring your own stuff, or I don't think it was like a huge catered funeral.
Yeah.
This was in Huntington Beach.
Wow.
Right,
it's hardly a legal thing too, you know. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't drug people without asking them.
Yeah, they were just on a tray. They were being passed around.
Wow.
So these people, of course, they were in their 70s and 80s.
Wow.
Huntington Beach, that's like right in my woods. It's just so weird.
That could kill them.
I know. And they all were hospitalized, but they're all okay.
Yeah.
So they're all fine. But can you imagine? I mean, I've had some interesting foods where I thought, oh my God, did somebody like put something in this? Because I start to feel loopy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, once or twice that's happened, or I feel like, did somebody roofie my drink? You know, this is ridiculous. I just feel really weird.
Wow.
I don't think that was ever the case. I think I was just, you know,
loony
myself.
Well, I'm sure a couple of them actually enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pleasant feeling, you know, unless, you know, I'm sure some of them got scared. Besides, when you
at do
edibles.
At that age, though. They were 70s
exactly.
and 80s.
And I think they say edibles are like really, really strong. You know, it's
they
not
are.
Like smoking it.
I remember an ex-boyfriend of mine. I wasn't feeling so good one night, and he just gave me literally one little bite of a brownie, and he said, "Yeah, it does have pot in it, but you know, it should just make you feel a little better, you know, relaxed."
Yeah.
And he literally had to. I was going to take a shower. Uh-huh. He literally had to bathe me. Because one bite of this little pop rocket thing, and I was like, in my own world, I could barely walk.
Really? One
bite? So it affects everyone differently. And, of course, you know, there are different kinds of weed, I'm assuming. And, you know, different, they all have different powers, or I don't know. That was so powerful, though.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, is because of this situation, it's really police, people are trying to crack down on marijuana dealers and trying to cut it out completely because of situations like this. And there was another one where like $1,500 worth of pot from a marijuana dealer was stolen from him.
Oh.
He was told to drop it off at this certain spot, and then two people just randomly jumped him and took the pot.
Wow.
So they're thinking it's starting to cause too many problems.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? For the federal government, it's still not legal as far as they're concerned. You know, it's more like it's legal in California and in Colorado and other states. But at the same time, the feds can feel free to just raid and bust people.
Right.
But I think they're more after the illegal ones, you know, and because some dispensaries are legal, they're recognized, they're registered, certified, and so forth. But there's a lot of people that abuse this, and I think that's who the feds are after.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to ever close it down again. You know, it's like the genie's out of the bottle now.
I don't either. I mean, it's just, that's like closing liquor down to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, I mean, most people take, you know, weed or smoke weed for actually, because it's better than a lot of prescription drugs.
Right, yeah. And they feel it's a lot better than alcohol, too, you know. They can be more in control.
Do you think it ages you, though? That's the only thing I'm like,
eh. You think it ages you?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Just like smoking, I do. Mm. And alcohol, though. I just think you have to be careful with all that stuff. You're putting these crazy things, you know. Yeah, well, weed, though, is like a plant. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, you're taking smoke into your lungs and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on how much you do it. I'll never forget. I went through a trend where, like, for about 2 or 3 months, right after me and my ex had broken up, every guy I met, you know, smoked weed. but they would say, oh, yeah, oh, once in a blue moon I smoke, once in a blue moon. When literally, the second they woke up, they were smoking weed.
Really?
At least one of them in particular. I almost freaked out. I'm like,
so
what are you doing?
They lie about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just too much. I think when you're doing that the first thing in the morning and claiming, you know, it helps your back, I'm like, dude, I was not born yesterday. I am not an idiot. You know?
Yeah.
Too much of anything is not good for you.
That's true.
Even vegetables.
Yeah.
Too much, not good.
Really?
Have a balanced life.
That's true. Balanced everything. I know, because, I've seen vegetarians that don't look very healthy. You know?
I don't know. I could never be a vegetarian. I mean, I love my meat. I've never understood how. I mean, most people that I know that are vegetarians, it's strictly because of what, you know, is done to the animals.
Right.
Which, you know, I understand. You know, it's horrible. But my reasoning behind it is like, you know, even if you stop eating the meat, they're still doing this to the animals.
Exactly.
You know? Like, the meat is still in the grocery store, so you might as well just
buy it. You gotta get everybody to quit before they stop it.
Yeah, buy it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I love my meat.
Exactly, I know. I love meat, too.
Steak and chicken.
Yeah.
Mmm! Are you big into fish, though? Seafood?
I like fish.
Yeah.
I like fish. Not all of it, but some seafood I like. Yeah.
I could eat salmon every day of my life and be perfectly content.
Really?
Or sushi.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Salmon is good, yeah.
Sushi's the best.
Sushi hasn't clicked with me yet. I still keep trying, but...
Really?
Yeah, but I've yet to find anything that really...
You have to go to the right places.
We've gone. I mean, we go to places where people say the sushi is really good, you know.
Huh.
I don't know. It looks very good, but the idea of eating it raw is just not.
I'm not into the raw either. I stay away from that. I like the baked salmon rolls are delicious.
Yeah.
Baked salmon. And then shrimp tempura is one of my favorites.
Yeah, but that's
they're all
not
kinda,
sushi.
They're cooked.
Yeah.
But it is sushi. It's just,
tempura,
you know.
Tempura is sushi? No.
Well, no, not that one. Well, they have it as sushi. They make rolls. They can,
they
can serve shrimp tempura as rolls. But the baked salmon roll, I highly recommend.
Yeah?
But, you know, it is funny. Like, depending on where you go, some places, it's horrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's not so good. It depends on, I like it when they put a little sauce on it.
Yeah.
You know, other places, it's like, oh, my God, it's amazing. I love it. Oh, my God, I might have to get that for lunch today.
I know. People swear by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still don't have the balls to do it. But
so good.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
I just wanted to bring up the this is a big deal overseas, not so much for us here in the States, but for me, especially since I came from Israel and stuff. There is a soldier that has been held by the Palestinians for over 5 years.
Holy crap.
As a prisoner. And this
an American
is really,
soldier.
No, an Israeli soldier.
Oh, an Israeli soldier. Okay.
And this has captured the heart of everybody there, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Israel is a small country, you know. So when someone's taken prisoner or hostage or, anything that where he gets snatched, it's a big deal, you know. And everybody cares and everybody really worries about what's going to happen.
Of course.
And, I mean, this has been going on there for 5.5 years. And can you imagine what he must have been through?
I know. So what happened now, though? Has he been freed?
So now they strike a deal where they're going to free him for 1,000 Palestinian prisoners that are in Israel. So
what?
They're going to exchange one person for 1,000. And that happens all the time.
That's insane.
I
no
know,
way.
That's just the way it is. But Israelis really value life, you know, and and they don't abandon their soldiers.
Right.
Never.
Of course. I mean, that's good to hear, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They're risking their life and dedicating it to, you know, the country.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's amazing.
But it was
but
up to the government.
1,000 Palestinians. That's crazy. That's ridiculous,
it's
you know.
It's always like that.
Unbelievable. Did you ever see the movie Brothers?
No.
Oh, Natalie Portman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Tobey Maguire. It reminds me a lot of that, except he was an American. Tobey Maguire played an American soldier.
Right.
Natalie Portman was his wife, but he, you know, was often, I can't remember, Afghanistan or Iraq. Mm-hmm. And his wife was told that he died, but really he was being held hostage there. You know, no one could find him. Mm. He was alive, and it was like a year or 2 years had gone by where he was just, you know, being held hostage and being beaten to death. But not actually killed yet.
Right.
And finally, they found him, but just crazy, you know. And then, of course, they take you through all the psychological craziness that is going on in his head.
Right.
Once returning, you know, to the States and to
his
family.
Exactly. And that's why his parents are concerned. You know, they're saying we know it's clear we're not going to be getting back the same boy. You know.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, he's young. You know, I mean, he was
How
taken
was
when he was 18, 19
wow.
or something.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I wish him the best. I hope he's going to be fine. And not
His
cool.
His name is Gilad Shalit, and I'm really happy. A lot of people have become very emotional the last couple of days because
sure.
of that. So,
It happens more than we think.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really hard, you know, and when someone's taken hostage and, you know, or prisoners and, you know, in these countries where they don't necessarily treat people humanely.
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's not just not even in regards to like military stuff, but even just people getting kidnapped off the streets.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've heard stories of little girls being kidnapped and, you know, they're not found till they're like 16 years old. And it's like 16 years has gone by of your life and you've been, you know, in somebody's under their ground being held hostage. Just ridiculous.
Right.
I actually have a crazy story.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I was kidnapped.
Really?
I swear to you.
Whoa.
But it was just for 2 days and then I was found.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing. I was, you know, I'm a little girl. I mean, in high school, you know, 17 years old, I think at the time. And I did a lot of community theater, and I competed in pageants, and I did all kinds of stuff. So the neighborhood knew me.
Mm.
And an old man spotted me. He saw me in a production, a community theater production of Godspell.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, you know, when you're done with a play, you always go out and kind of just talk to the audience for this, you know, particular company. That's what this company wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm talking to different people, and I'll never forget this older man coming up to me and just, you know, being really mesmerized, and you know, that was just amazing, and telling me that he was, you know, a producer.
Yeah.
And I'm very gullible. You know, I know nothing at this point about the career, the industry, anything. And he goes, yeah, I'm a producer. I'm actually putting together a feature of myself, and I would love to audition you for, you know, a part or what, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
So either a week or two later, I met up with him
mm-hmm.
at a McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah. And
did you initiate the contact, or did he follow
up?
He
followed up. Oh, okay. He followed up a few times before I actually met up with him.
Right.
And it's just weird, you know, you wouldn't, I don't know what you, it was kidnapping, I mean, technically, you know. I was
well,
a minor.
Did he hold you?
Yeah. He really? Basically, I was in McDonald's. We met at around like 10, 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. I told my mom. She thought it was very fishy. She didn't approve of it. But I was always the type of person, and I still am, you know, regardless of what somebody tells me, I'm going to, you know, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So she knew where I was, though. And so I go to the McDonald's. We're talking. Then he says, you know, well, in order to really consider you for this production, we need to play a trust game. Now, that's common with acting. There are a lot of trust games where, you know, you might be blindfolded and, you know, trust the person's going to catch you and you're just going to fall,
right.
You know, different things. So I'm like, okay. It sounded fishy to me because he wanted me to walk to his car.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked his car. He blindfolded me. Once I was blindfolded, I kind of just blacked out. I don't really remember too much. I just remember him shoving me into his car and taking me to his place.
Wow.
Never did he do anything sexually, but he kept me in his place for about 2 days until I was found.
Wow.
McDonald's had like a little security camera, you know, that was able to at least kind of grasp his car, his car.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fortunate.
Yeah, but it took, you know, 2 days still of me being at his place. And I'm wondering, like, he never raped me. He didn't do anything sexually. So it's like...
Yeah.
What do you think his intentions truly were?
I don't know. Maybe he had a change of heart, or maybe he just wanted to be with you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what his problem is.
I mean, I thought, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, well, this guy clearly just kind of, if he could, he would just kind of keep me at his place forever as kind of his, you know.
Yeah, he probably didn't want to commit a crime, you know. He just wanted to be with someone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't imagine kidnapping anything. So let alone know why he did it, what
right.
the motivation is.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And it didn't really affect me at all. That's
really?
That's the weird thing, you know? I've told a few people this story.
So you didn't experience a trauma or anything?
It definitely made me more cautious of my surroundings.
Right, yeah.
And especially for the first month. I mean, I didn't go to school for maybe like a week after that, you know?
Yeah.
But then I jumped right back into school. I was directing my high school play, so I had to get back into it. I was excited. But I'll never forget all the kids, like, really, everyone knew the story, you know, everyone in the school knew the situation, and everyone was just like, didn't know what to say to me. I'm like, it was,
wow,
you know,
that's
whatever.
That's scary for anyone, man.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Wow.
But I got lucky in this situation, you know, it could have been much worse.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having been sexually, you know, raped or, you know, this old man having sex with me.
Yeah.
That would have been horrible.
Wow,
I mean,
it would have been. Wow.
Crazy
story. A lot of girls do go through those things, you know, and it's more... you know, it happens a lot more than we think it does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, you know, even when we had our guest Bethany on about overcoming sexual abuse, a lot of females don't speak out about it.
Yeah.
You know, they either have some fear in them or they just, you know, they keep it to themselves. And I think the more you preach it or tell people, the more they might realize, oh, you know, I actually, even if it wasn't recent, you know, a few years ago, something happened to me. And the more I think about it, it was abuse, you know?
I know. I guess when you're young, you don't really think about it that way.
Yeah, or you're also very brainwashed sometimes, you know?
Mm.
What
definitely vulnerable, you know, definitely vulnerable when you're young.
Yeah.
You know, and people try to take advantage, and it's very scary, you know? I mean, it's very scary to have a daughter, and you don't know what the hell's going to happen, you know? With a son, it's easier. But with a daughter, it's, you know, you worry all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. My dad, after that, he was ready to kill somebody.
I'm sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, especially because, like, I was in high school and my parents knew that I wanted to go to New York right after high school to, you know, pursue my acting.
Right.
But that just terrified them.
Really?
So it was very hard for them to let me go.
I'm
But they did, you know, which I appreciate because, you know, ultimately it's kind of their decision, you know? I mean, they're paying for my education. If they don't want me, if they're not going to let me go, they're not going to let me go.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the deciding factor of me pursuing acting, you know? I mean, if I'm not in New York, I can't really do it.
That's true, yeah. Well, the next time someone approaches you, you know, just...
Oh, I'm very cautious now. You know, that was, I'm 24 now. That was when I was like 17. That was like 7 years ago.
Well, if anybody says they're a producer, run for the hills.
I know. Yeah, everyone, word of advice. Just don't be naive, you know, especially, I mean, now I'm like, I'm very smart about that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, usually when I hear producer, I'm just like, you give me your business card. I'll contact you.
Yeah.
You know, let me do a little research first.
Yeah.
What's
well, I'm
your
sure
IMDb?
Many people make up their own cards and walk around saying they're producers. Too,
yeah, you know what, though? You can say, there's only so much you can say. The internet tells you everything.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
I mean, I will look up some, I always look up people before I meet them.
Right.
I want to know, you know, I'm not stalking you, but I want to know, you know, what you've done or
what the hell you
who
are.
I'm meeting. Yeah. I mean, are you crazy? I'm not going to just meet up with a random stranger. No way.
Yeah.
And IMDb, you know, any actors out there, you know, if somebody tells you they're a director or writer, look them up on IMDb. Please look them up before you go meeting up with them.
Yeah.
If you can't find them, ask them. You know, send me a link to your IMDb. I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know? Or do you have a website for this? I want to see some of your work. Never just meet up with somebody that says they're something, you know?
Yeah. But don't you think someone like that would probably already put themselves in IMDb, you know, just so if they walk around telling people they're a producer or, you know, pretending to be somebody else.
Well, you can't just fake ad credits, you know? I mean, credits on IMDb, for the most part, it's very legitimate. I mean, anything on IMDb, have you been to, do you know what IMDb
is?
Yeah,
of course.
You know, those are, if you look me up on IMDb, you know, the projects that are listed are projects I've been in.
I see.
So, you know, there are people who have an IMDb with their name, but it might not have any credits on it.
I see.
Or, you know, it might have one credit. But, you know, use your best judgment. You know, if a guy, like even with actors, it drives me nuts when actors say, I'm an actor. And then you look them up on IMDb and they have five credits and all of them are listed as, background work, party girl number two, skeleton number 10, you know, background actor or double. And then it's listed as uncredited also, which means, you know, it wasn't even listed in the credits of the actual movie. That's horseshit.
Yeah.
You know, that is so lame.
I guess people do that, huh?
Oh, all the time.
That's all the credit they have, yeah.
All the time.
Wow.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get stuck into that, that's all you book.
Yeah.
You know, if people look you up and that's what they see, they're not going to want to book you as a principal or supporting role in their film.
That's true, yeah.
Like, you're a joke.
But it's like anything
else.
Better
not to have anything.
Yeah. But it's like anything else. If you don't get the chance, then who's going to give it to you? You know, if you don't have the experience, how are you going to get the experience, you know?
Right. I mean, I think it's all about having a great presentation of yourself and being smart about it. You do not, I mean, everybody starts, you have to start somewhere. You know, nobody starts with an amazing list of credits. You know, you start from the bottom and you build up. But I'm just saying, less is always more. And especially on IMDb, I would rather, because I've directed a film before, I would rather see no credits at all on your, you know, IMDb. Yeah. Then, you know, party girl number five,
terrible,
uncredited, you know? Please, please, just do me the favor.
Yeah. So I guess that's a good idea to see if somebody's telling you the truth. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're an actor or a producer or director or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, IMDb is not the only way to, you know, figure out if someone's being legit, you know?
Yeah.
Just Google them.
Yeah.
You have to be able to find, if you can't find anything about this person, something's fishy.
Or they're doing very well keeping their privacy in check.
Right.
I can tell you.
Which that I respect too, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are private, but at the same time, you know, there's a difference between privacy and, you know, business.
No, in business you want to, you know, you want to be seen out there for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah. Anyway, what else can I tell you about the acting?
Yeah,
I love giving people advice, though.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, people, I get a lot of friends that just ask me for advice. I'm not really anybody to give because I, you know, I don't have the huge credits that, you know, other people I know have. But I've been through enough to know, you know, the do's and don'ts,
right,
what to avoid and what not to.
Yeah.
So I try to help people as much as I can because there are so many scams out there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, especially out here. When I first moved to L.A., it's like there are so many, you know, pathetic modeling agencies that are like, oh, my, you know, I can give you a modeling career and make you a movie star. And then they'll ask for $1,000 to take great photos of you. That is such bullshit, you know?
Right, yeah.
I mean, the second anyone asks for money, it's just, you're a joke.
Yeah.
You're a joke.
Yeah. Unless it's a school or classes or something.
Right,
you know?
But do your research, too, with classes, because a lot of those are bullshit, too. Like, Barbizon, that's a joke, people.
Oh, is it really?
Barbizon's a joke. So is that something Powers. Mm. Oh, I can't remember the name, but the Powers is the last name. Yeah, Barbizon's a joke.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they have classes, but, you know, the whole point is, like, they're calling, they want to make, you know, they're promising things that aren't true. You know? Mm. Now, mind you, this was a few years ago when I was, you know, presented with this company or, you know, I met with them. But, you know, so I'm sure they could have changed. But, yeah, as far as I know, they offer classes and they charge a shitload of money, you know.
Wow.
And then at the end, you know, they promise that, you know, you're going to be seen by a ton of, you know, agencies, blah, 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 and we're going to help you build your career. But ultimately, it's the, you know, you're paying for the classes because... Right. You know, they have like an end of the show, you know, or end of the classes type show.
Right.
But you're not getting jack from that.
Yeah, and there's no way they're placing every student there in a job, you know.
Right.
There's just no way.
I mean, it's, you know, one person might get lucky. But the thing is, you know, you shouldn't sell the company as building you up,
Right.
Companies need to be a little more honest with how they sell. Because, like, I will tell you, like, when I was a little kid, my mom put me in the Barbizon thing, too.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken after finishing that, you know. I enjoyed the classes, but I was thinking, oh, my God, you know, this is for real. I'm going to be doing some films right after this. And,
right.
And it's not like that.
No, it's never like that.
And you have to do a runway show at the end. And, like, I was bawling my ass off after it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was just devastating. You look around and you're like, I just got gypped. You know, and then I'm like a young little kid and I'm like really angry. I just got ripped off.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you come here naive and young, you know, you don't know.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was when I was a little kid. But stay away from those companies, you know?
Yeah.
Unless
so, I mean, do you need to go to school for modeling?
No.
No,
that's
you
the other thing.
Right?
That's why Barbizon's a joke.
Yeah.
You know? You either have that or you did. What is modeling really? No, you don't need to take classes necessarily.
Right.
I mean, although I recommend, you know, for a lot of people, classes, for like acting classes or modeling classes, even if you're not pursuing it, it's really good for a kid because it just gets you kind of open.
Oh, really?
And active and not afraid, you know, it's great. Just teaches you, you know, even like it's just helpful with other business at companies where you might be managing or you know, when you have to talk in front of a bunch of people in general,
right.
Public speech. I think it's good for you, but no, you know, you truly don't even need a college education to be an actor.
Yeah. No, you definitely don't.
Everyone's situation is different. I personally needed classes cause I sucked. It wasn't just a natural gift that God gave me. But yeah, some people naturally have it. Some need classes, but you know, you go with what you need or what you feel is right.
Yeah. So you took classes. I mean, did you go to college too, or?
I went to a conservatory for like a year and a half, strictly acting.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just pursued.
Yeah. It's a waste to go to college. I mean, it's never a waste as far as learning, because I love to learn, you know. But all I'm saying is, if you're gonna become an actor, college is not necessary.
It's just not. Yeah. I mean, it depends. Again, classes could be very like it was. Classes were necessary for me because I needed to be taught some kind of technique to understand, because otherwise I was just kind of a wild thing on stage doing whatever I wanted and it looked ridiculous. But yeah, with as far as college, and that's the funny thing, like when I first graduated from the conservatory, a lot of people looked down on me because I didn't have a bachelor's degree. And I thought, you know what, screw you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't waste 4 years and I'm not going to be paying, you know, $100,000 or, you know, I'm not $100,000 in debt for my college education.
Right.
I'm able to pursue a little quicker.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason why I did that. It's because I wanted to get out there in the business as soon as I could.
Right.
But I knew my parents wanted me to get some kind of training.
Right.
So that was the trick.
Well, that was still no bachelor's degree, but hey, I'm an actress
needed.
In L.A.
Not needed.
No, not needed.
For what I'm doing. I mean, I do
different,
even like website designing. I don't need a college degree for, you know, that's all self-taught stuff.
Right.
Some people go to college for graphic design, you know, to be a graphic designer.
Right.
That's self-taught. You can teach yourself that stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to have a certain talent as well, you know, for this kind of stuff. Not just anybody can teach themselves.
Sure.
But, I mean, I got into graphics a long time ago, and it was all self-taught. You know, I was doing computer animation and stuff like back in 1990, you know, 3D computer animation and things like that. So that was really exciting. And
yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the time when there was a lot of new technology, you know, it's like desktop publishing was coming out and yeah, and things like that, you know. So yeah, so I enjoyed it a great deal, you know, and I started a business doing that, and then I was doing animation for computer games and
oh, that's
like
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. So it's really gotten you know, and then eventually it just culminated in all the things I've learned together, I was able to bring to developing this radio station, you know, the website and
yeah.
the station itself.
Did you design the website?
Yeah, I designed
no way.
The website. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
Who do you think does all the graphics on the site?
Wow.
Me.
Good job, Sam.
Until
props
I find
to
someone
Sam.
To actually replace me after
Bravo.
4 years.
Yeah, but it's good to know all that stuff yourself, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just quicker to manage it. You can, you know, when you need to make a change, you don't have to rely on somebody else to make the change.
Oh, absolutely.
Do it
yeah.
yourself.
I mean, I remember when I first got started, that's when Photoshop came out. That was like 1991 or something.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah, that was a long time ago. But I remember before that, there were other programs that weren't quite as great. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they would let you do things. You could select backgrounds and colors and things like that. But then Photoshop came out and it blew everybody out of the water. You know, it
yeah.
was just an amazing, amazing product with layers and all that. So.
I love Photoshop, too. It's
yeah.
just fun to play around with, not necessarily to, like, make yourself look 10 times prettier,
yeah.
but, I mean, just artistically, you know, you can do some funky things and make it just interesting.
No, absolutely. Oh. You know, I mean, there's use for it every day, so at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so those are some cool things. Did
Very
you hear
cool.
that there are more cell phones in the United States than people? In other words, they're saying that there are 327 million phones in the United States.
What?
There's 312 million people. So
okay.
there's like 15 million more phones than there are people.
Now, are we talking the phones that are owned by people
phones.
Or are phones just being sold in the stores?
No,
too?
Cell phones.
Well, that makes sense to me just because a lot of people have a business phone and, you know, their personal cell phone.
Do they carry two cell phones?
Oh, yeah. Like
yeah.
my dad does. My dad has a BlackBerry. Then he has his home phone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, his little cell phone for the
right.
family and friends. Yeah.
Right.
Because your business one, usually you can't, you know, especially if you work for the government, can't really make
yeah,
personal phone calls on it. That makes sense to me, but that is that's
Does
a big
it?
Difference, 50 million.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
No, 15 million.
Oh, 15.
Yeah,
okay.
From 312. There's 312 million people in the U.S. That's, wow, that's a lot more than there were. I remember when I moved out here, that was in 1976. There were about 250 million,
wow.
so now we have 312.
People are really getting busy in the bed.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
lots
a
of
lot
baby
of
making.
I'm telling you, it's like so in fashion to have a baby, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what I was reading yesterday? There's actually these guys that donate sperm, not for money, but, you know, just for altruistic reasons, you know, they want to help women, you know, often lesbians who want to have a baby and things like that. So these guys will just do it.
Interesting. Well, I hope it's not for the money because, like, men to donate sperm, I don't know, they get like $50 or $100.
Yeah, it's
not very much. It's not compared to, like, girl, you know, women donating
eggs. Yeah.
Which I'm very familiar with that process. But I'm curious, with donating sperm, like, because I know, like, when a female donates eggs, mm-hmm. You know, a couple actually has already picked them out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so you're donating specifically to them. I'm wondering, though, when guys donate sperm, is it a couple has already picked them out, or are they just literally, you know, here's my sperm and giving it to the agency?
Yeah, here's my sperm.
Wow.
I mean, they were describing these people. I can't believe this. I mean, they met at Starbucks, you know, these couple of lesbians and this guy. They met at a Starbucks. He went, jerked off in the bathroom, took out the sperm, gave it to her, and she went in the bathroom and, you know, stuck it into her cervix.
What?
Yeah. That's I was reading about this. This is like Newsweek.
I mean, usually they go through like, you know, like agency type companies that monitor all of this.
Right. But this is not the same. I mean, sperm banks are sperm banks, but this is like more like private parties.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that.
Cause and like, some guys just want the sex. They figure, you know, maybe the woman will have sex with me in order to get my sperm.
Ooh, that's weird. You have to be pretty desperate for sex if you're willing to, you know, here's my, give your sperm. You know, have a child with them. I'd freak out. That's the thing. Like when you go through agencies, there are contracts, you know, involved with that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you, this couple doesn't come back to you and randomly, you know, I don't want this child anymore. You know, like she's half yours as well or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or a lot of couples fear that the donor is going to change their mind or, you know, want the child, feel some kind of connection with the child. So there's a huge process with that. I have a friend that donates.
Really?
It's interesting. Yeah. I've learned a lot about it.
Yeah. And some people just, they feel that they're helping out people that can't have kids, you know.
Right.
So, you know, whatever that is. But there's a big article in Newsweek this week about it. And I found it to be fascinating.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. I'm curious about that now, too.
Yeah. What do you think about a woman raising a kid on her own? Like, you know, not getting married, just getting inseminated. You think that's okay?
Okay. I thought, because I was going to say, like, my sister, for example, has a child, and the father's not in that, you know, the child.
Yeah, but that's not the different. Same. Yeah.
So you mean, like, literally just kind of getting a random sperm?
I see. Yeah.
Well, I've never truly thought about it. Depends on the person, of course, you know, and why they want it this way. But I mean, I don't know. You know, I think a child deserves to have and needs, you know, that two different figures in their life, the, you know, male and female
preferably
figure.
Preferably both parents.
And not even necessarily parents, like, you know, with my sister's case, my dad, you know, is only 47. I have a young dad and he's, you know, in that child's life all the time.
Right.
So, but just a male figure in general, you know, you need a male and a female figure. And people who I know who've only had one, you know, figure in their life, you know, it has affected them in some way.
Right.
That's interesting.
I think that's sort of like robbing the kid from having a father.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe there's a male figure around, but it's not the same, you know. I mean, you're already putting that kid at a disadvantage the moment they come to this world, you know. I don't know. I just find it to be a little selfish on a woman's part to do that.
Or on a male's part. I'm sure guys have done that too.
Yeah.
Less common, probably. But also, if the child is born, you know, with only the mother, I'm assuming that's, you know, that's all they know of.
Yeah.
You know, maybe until they're in grade school and other kids are talking about, where's your papa?
Where's your daddy? You know?
That could be difficult, you know?
That's what I'm thinking.
There are all kinds of crazy situations, though. You know, I mean, there are kids that, you know, are in grade school and, you know, they had both their parents and then their mom died or, you know, dad. And that to me is even worse, you know, having to go through such a trauma of having a parent in your life and then losing them.
Yeah.
At such a young age. I mean, that's just devastating.
Right.
Interesting, though.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I don't know. You know, I mean,
the ideal situation is obviously that you have a mother and dad.
Right.
But it's so much more common now than any other time, you know, that's just not how it is anymore.
Right. But most of the
divorces,
people.
You
yeah,
know,
it's not by design. You know, it's not that they purposely went into it and said, I'm not going to have a father. It's often because it's an accident. The guy doesn't want to stay, blah, 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 you know. But to actually go out of your way and get inseminated and have a kid, I find it kind of selfish, you know.
Sure.
I mean,
that's different.
You know,
that's weird. I would like be curious to talk to somebody that wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'd be curious as to what is going on in their head. Like what's, you know, we all have reasons for what we do. So
but many women, I mean, they just feel they don't find the right guy, you know. And,
well, that's another thing.
They
like,
want the kid. Their clock is ticking, you know. They want to have a child and it's not happening.
Well, I was going to say too, like, because that's how I look at it is it for me, it's I've never felt tempted to have kids yet, but I think it's because I haven't met a person where I would even in a million years consider having a child.
Right. Exactly.
And I think when you meet the right person or, you know, just a great guy, then you start to feel like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can see myself having. But if you never meet that guy and, you know, your clock is ticking 30, 35 years old. Well, yeah, I would maybe, you know, if you're really, your heart is set on having a kid, I would probably adopt, though.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, having.
But do they let single parents adopt these days?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't really looked into it. I'm sure there, you know, are very specific guidelines. I mean, adoption's very hard to... It's very hard to adopt a child. Right, you know, there's so much you go through. And I'm sure being... Yeah, you have to, though. Didn't Sandra Bullock adopt a little kid?
Yeah, but I think they were together at the time. Wasn't she together with
Jesse? No, that was like right when, you know, he had... cheated on her. She won an Oscar. He cheated. You know, months later.
Right.
She adopted the child.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're rich and famous, they let you do it.
I know. That's horrible. you're in movies. You get special treatment.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I know.
Yeah, they're human. That's not fair.
Yeah.
But well, certainly if you have a ton of money, that would help. You know?
Yeah. That's a big if, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. I know that... I know that gay couples do get kids to adopt, you know.
Yes,
so.
Or they go through donations as they get a, you know, donor.
Right.
And that's really interesting because then they're using like a surrogate, you know, somebody else to carry, you know, they get somebody to donate the eggs and then to carry the baby.
Yeah.
That's just a bunch of craziness, but it's a beautiful thing to be a part of that, to be a donor even.
Right,
Yeah, it's all very interesting to me.
Yeah, very controversial, you know, but I think it's worth discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they're showing this small picture of a two-headed snake found in a yard.
What?
How scary is that?
Oh, I heard about this. Like, you know, it's so funny when
very
you have these
snake.
Random things, you know, on Facebook, everyone starts posting it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it though yet. I'm going to Google it now.
CNN.com.
Oh my gosh, there it is.
Yeah.
Two-headed snake. That is so funky. Almost like Siamese twins or, you know.
It's pretty
you're
spooky.
Attached.
Yeah. I don't like snakes, man. That's
where?
For sure.
Well, they're so unpredictable. You have no idea what the heck they're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so funky. Where was this?
In a backyard. They found it in the backyard. I don't know where it was. Oh. I just saw the picture there.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah. All right. There's... Well, Steph, we're done for today.
Okie doke.
Thank you all for joining us. See you all tomorrow.
Hello.
You have been listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only right here on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question for one of our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about starting your very own talk radio show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Steph in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.